Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Raw, directly after what arguably could be one of the best pay-per-views the WWE has put on in a very, very long time. I think owed it to the fans to keep up that momentum, to keep the ball rolling in the right direction, and to tell the fans, you know what, this is where we're going as a company now. We have heard your voice, and this is where we're going as a company. And instead, we basically get the celebration of Hispanic History Month. We get the Connor's Cure thing, which is fantastic. Look, I'm not talking about undermining the WWE for any of the wonderful charity work they do. But when you put this all on the exact same show as you make your big announcement that you're going to Saudi Arabia, it makes me want to go take a shower, because I honestly think that you're doing that to say, look, we're good guys. Look, we're good guys. Look, we're very inclusive. Look, we're wonderful human beings. Look, we're very, charitable. So you have to forgive us if we want to go to Saudi Arabia and make $1 billion. That's what it felt like to me. Start right out, because I'm going to get into this in a minute with this whole Saudi Arabia nonsense. By the way, you know, you wake up in the morning after this big announcement and you check all ESPN, Fox News, everybody. Just maybe there'll be a shred of maybe the WWE probably shouldn't do that. No. Nope. Not a word. Anyway, Roman Reigns comes out to start Raw and announces that he's sick and tired of Brock Lesnar back jumping him. And if he wants a rematch, all he has to do is just come right on out. We all know Brock Lesnar's not there, because even if the Saudi Arabian government was to hand over the entire wealth of the world to the WWE, they still couldn't afford Brock Lesnar weekly. So, instead, what do we get? We get Baron Corbin coming out. And we get Braun Strowman coming out. And Braun Strowman, his character has really shit the bed. This was a guy who had a really cool character. He said very little. He was a intimidating looking dude who just came out and roared like a friggin' monster and destroyed things. And he really didn't give much of a damn who the hell he destroyed either, by the way. Face, heel, broadcast team, didn't matter. Now he's relegated to saying things like, Roman Reigns, you suck. Baron Corbin, you suck. Fans, you suck. Well, that's good. That'll get you some heat. Wow. So Roman comes through. He looks a little cloudy, folks. Roman comes out and he's kind of stumbling through his promo and he looks a little rattled. Corbin's a little bit better, but the bottom line of the situation is this. Corbin announces, well, you'll get your match against Brock Lesnar, and you'll get your match against Braun Strowman all at the same time in Saudi Arabia. Why did they have Baron Corbin make this announcement? Because they're chicken. Stephanie McMahon's not going to make this announcement because she knows it's going to look bad at her. Triple H is not going to make this announcement because he knows, it might look bad at me. Send Baron Corbin out to get the heat just in case people do boo. Just in case we do get backlash. Won't be us who came out of our mouth, even though you're still responsible for it. And then they call the goddamn thing Crown Jewels. I feel like kicking somebody in their crown jewels. Why don't you just call it what it is, money grab? That would be a great name for it, right? WWE Saudi Arabia, money grab. Or no women allowed. How's that one? WWE pay-per-view, no women allowed. I like that one. I've already said I'm not watching it, and I'm not. I will get the results, and I will bring you the results. But I'm not watching it, because sometimes there are things more important than professional wrestling or entertainment. And this is just not something I'm comfortable with doing. If one of the other people on the panel want to watch it and fill me in, that's fine. I'm not watching it. So the opening segment, I thought, quite frankly, I think it made Braun Strowman's character look dumb. It set the tone for the show because Braun is right about one thing, sucks. Everything sucks. And then Baron Corbin says, out of the clear blue sky, you are fighting tonight, though, however, and you're fighting me. Because that's such a dramatic main event. Because we just know that Baron Corbin's going to win the belt and go to Saudi Arabia to fight Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar, right? We just know that's going to be the big main event. So you have now built a show around a match that there is no doubt in anyone's mind of the outcome, zero. No matter how many times Corey Graves says, there's going to be a new champion tonight because Roman Reigns is much too hurt. Much too hurt from what? What did he do? He took a spear from Brock Lesnar. One. So I don't know. The whole premise starts out bad for me, Mike, and I'm thinking to myself, here we go. It's a return to normal.
Right, and to further exacerbate the situation, when Paul Heyman comes out, and you haven't gotten to that, but when Paul Heyman comes out, he says what he says, he rings out the door and all this stuff, the door to the cage and all this stuff. When they filmed him backing away, and the way they filmed it, you couldn't see if there's somebody behind him or whatever. When they did that, I'm saying, okay, this is where Mick Foley's going to come out and do something. And they didn't do it. They didn't pull the trigger on that. You know, they should have done that, but they didn't pull.
No, there's no storyline, Mike. There's no storyline. Here's the thing about the WWE. The WWE just says, look, we're going to do this, and I know that we could make this a storyline if we want to, but hey, we don't want to. We just don't want to. There's no point, and we don't want to. And there is no better example than the opening match. Because for weeks, you have made it clear that Dean Ambrose and Drew McIntyre are going to be feuding. For weeks, you've made that clear. Every time the Shield comes out, it's Ambrose taking on McIntyre. Last night at Hell in a Cell, or night before last at Hell in a Cell, they're the ones who fought on top of the cage while Seth and Dolph went through the tables trying to climb down. You have made this very evident that you are building to a big Drew McIntyre versus Dean Ambrose feud, and then you give it away the opening match of Raw with absolutely zero branches on the tree. Just now, Drew McIntyre wins, and that's it. So why do I want to see another one? Feud over, I guess, huh? Drew McIntyre wins. We're not building to a big pay-per-view match where you say, man, they've had a couple of matches on Raw that nothing's been settled and it's been brutal. I can't wait to see this. Nope. Can't be bothered with that. Drew, go out there, pin Dean, and on to the next thing. Maybe you'll fight him again. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what you're going to do, but just pin him tonight. Maybe next week he'll pin you. And then you'll pin him, and then he'll pin you, and then you'll pin him, and then he'll pin you. And then you and him will have to find tag team partners, and I guess it'll be Dolph and Seth, and then and Dolph and Seth, Dolph and Drew, you'll pin the Shield, and then the Shield will pin you, and then you'll pin the Shield, and the Shield will pin you, and then we'll go back to being solo fighting again, and we'll do the same thing. I told you that this whole federation now revolves around six people. And what happened in the first two goddamn matches? Well, first match, I should say, in the opening. You got Roman Reigns coming out. You got Braun Strowman coming out. And then in the next match, here you go. Dean Ambrose, Drew McIntyre. And later on, we're told Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler, because, of course, that's it. That's what they got, folks. Everybody else is second banana. Maybe not Brock Lesnar when he shows up. But aside from that, everybody else is second banana. Now, look, was it a good match? It was a pretty good match between Drew McIntyre and Dean Ambrose. I'm not going to say it was a bad match. What I am saying is I am mind-boggled as to why you would make any conclusion. I am mind-boggled as to why you would give this match away on a Raw when this could have been saved for a pay-per-view. This could have been built and built and built that these two guys really don't like each other, that there's a major rivalry here. And to be perfectly honest, you can say all you want, well, Ambrose crashed and burned because of his own craziness trying to jump off the buckle, and then he walked right into that kick. It doesn't matter. He got pinned clean. Usually when you're pinned clean, that clearly says the feud is kind of over. It's kind of over. But not in the WWE's universe. It's just like, no, next week they'll fight again with a different outcome, and then next week, and then next week, and then next week. Until you say, well, I really don't want to see this anymore. And then they say, guess what? The pay-per-view is coming up and it's going to be the big match between them. We know they fought each other 855 times, but this is the one you need to see. No. So it's a good match, Todd, but again, why would you give this away when you could have very, very easily built this up to be a big match on a major event?
You're absolutely right there. Like I, like you said before, I remember back in the day when you win a feud, it's over. You go on to something, somebody else to feud, but they keep doing this over and over, like repeating history, like itself, like a dinosaur, technically. And like you said, it's getting old, getting stale.
It's getting real old. It's getting old. Now, if you're the booker, could you not have had this thing just spill out into the audience and everywhere, and Dean Ambrose and Drew McIntyre are fighting like crazy and have to even be separated maybe, and you say, man, this feud, these guys are going to, I mean, this is going to be a war. This ain't going to be settled right away. No, let's just settle it now on Raw. Opening match. Because we got Baron Corbin coming up against Roman Reigns later, and that's infinitely more important because God knows the fans all think, oh my God, Baron Corbin's going to be the champion. That's just asinine. I'm sorry. That's asinine, Mike. I don't know what to say about that.
It is, and that's, you know, that's the thing. And you know this probably was going to happen in the other two matches, you know. Well, particularly with Dolph and that thing because, well, Dolph's not going to win the title because – I mean, they gave it away. When they said they're going to have this match, they gave it away because, you know, Dolph already has a title. What's he gonna, how's he going to defend the tag team titles, you know?
Well, they can say the same thing about Seth Rollins, though. He, you know, when we went in, how is he going to win the tag team titles? You know, look, it's just a joke. It's just a joke. Don't even get me started on that match. I'll get – that's a good match, but here's why it was – well, I'll wait to tell you why it was ridiculous. Chad Gable comes out to fight Victor. Of course, he's got Bobby Roode with him, and Victor has Connor, and that's fine. But look, these guys could be, you know, whatever you're going to do with them, that's fine. But let's advance the storyline a little bit. I don't see that much advancement here. So this is just a throwaway match, Mike. Nothing really happened. It's whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever, and I don't mean, how are they writing this thing? I mean, it has potential, but where are they going with it? You know, I mean,
I don't know, Mike. This is the thing. I can't even come on this radio show and intelligently tell you where they're going with it because I don't believe they know where they're going with it. It would be like trying to tell you what number somebody's going to pick out of a hat because I truly and honestly feel that that's what they're doing here. the storylines themselves, like you said, where's Mick Foley? Where's Mick Foley to say, hey, Heyman, the hell are you doing to me last night? Where was the comment from Mick Foley at least? Nope, nothing. So Chad Gable wins, obviously. Bayley then takes on Dana Brooke because, of course, Dana Brooke is no longer with Titus Worldwide, and we have no idea why. There was a storyline supposedly being floated around where Dana Brooke was talking to Apollo Crews, and they were kind of shutting Titus out of their conversation, and we thought this was going somewhere. Surprise! It's going nowhere. Surprise! But it's okay, because Dana Brooke is now free. According to Renee Young, she is now free from the oppression of men. While Dana Brooke sits, Renee Young sits there with two men. Dana Brooke is free from the oppression of having to be the secretary for, or the analytical advisor for Titus Worldwide. She is now free to pursue her career in a happy place, just not Saudi Arabia. To which she promptly loses, because, of course, there goes her career. The only thing that made her relevant was Titus Worldwide. And the fact that she might get an angle where her and Apollo go out on their own and Titus is bitter about it, or her and Apollo stab Titus in the back, or whatever the angle was going to be, there is none now, is there? It's just Dana Brooke's back, and oh, look, she's a jobber again. And for whatever reason, apparently Bayley was afraid to come out to the ring by herself. So she had to bring Sasha Banks out just in case Dana Brooke, I guess, morphed into triplets. I don't know why Sasha Banks is out there. I know they did the thing in the beginning with the Connor's Cure thing, which was wonderful, but could she just go backstage? No, because they had to have that moment where Bayley and Sasha hugged. Because they got to remind you, we are doing tag team women's wrestling soon, folks, because you have so many. This one stunk on ice, Mike.
It did, and that's the thing. I mean, and we had an angle with Bayley and Sasha, and then again another thing that just led to nothing, you know.
Not only that, Mike, but you had an angle with Dana Brooke. You had her, and she looked a little better in the ring. There's no reason she can't be with Titus Worldwide and still wrestle.
Right, and I mean, you could have written it to the point of, well, without Titus Worldwide, she was this, and now she's getting better, and she's under Titus Worldwide, and she's, because of Titus Worldwide, she's going to be a big star, you know? They could have done that, but no.
Let me give you a two-second angle, Mike, and tell me if you think it's any good, and I've just made this up off the top of my head. She starts winning some minor matches against minor level talent in the women's division, but she cheats. And Titus is saying, wait a minute, this isn't a good representation of the brand. I mean, I know you won, but, you know, you put your foot on the ropes, or you held her tights, or, you know, how does that make Titus Worldwide look? And then Apollo is saying, hey, what's the difference for winning? And you got that little bit of, wait a minute, this is not what I want for my brand, against Apollo saying, hey, who are you to say? And you got some tension there between, you know, two guys plus the girls saying, well, what's going to happen? Is she going to wake up and say, yeah, I'm not going to cheat? Or is she going to take Apollo's, do whatever you want to do? Or you could reverse it and make Apollo be the one saying, how does this look good for our brand, Titus? And Titus saying, I don't care, we're winning. Anything you want to do, it's an angle, Mike. It's better than this.
Well, it's better than this. But then again, the whole Titus Worldwide thing, it smacks of being a heel angle. You know, because that's, basically, when you have something like that, you know, Devastation Incorporated, the Heenan family, the, you know, that type of thing, that's a heel angle. And because Titus did all this good stuff and he's the Paul of the Year, they can't really, they don't really want to pull that flipping Titus heel, you know?
Then do it the way I just said. Have Titus be the one saying, look, wait a minute. Titus Worldwide has to have a good reputation and a good brand for its brand. You doing this, Dana, is not helping us. And have Apollo be the one saying, look, victories help us. Who cares? This is wrestling. It's not tiddlywinks. And you got yourself an angle, at least. This way you got nothing. You got Dana Brooke being back to being a jobber. Congratulations. Big deal. Nobody cares. Then the Authors of Pain backstage are destroying some poor bastard. And Drake Maverick stops them. Here's the new thing in the WWE, apparently. Find the littlest guy you possibly can and make him a manager. So Drake Maverick, who's very good on the mic, and he's very good facial expression and everything. This is the way AOP should have looked to begin with. But here's the problem with making AOP this kind of team. Who are they going to fight? Who are they going to fight that you're like, yeah, but they're not going to get away with it with who? Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler? Nobody wants to see that. The Shield, okay, eventually, maybe. But, I mean, that's it. So as they're destroying these people and they say, let's just put in the tag team on notice, you know, the tag team division. What tag team division? What tag team division? So I don't see this being anything major. There's nothing really much to talk about except this is the way the AOP should have been to begin with. And then we wouldn't have had to worry about it. We wouldn't have had to say, isn't this the same team that struggled to beat Titus Worldwide? So I'm not even going to talk about that because we got bigger things to talk about. Seth Rollins then is forced by the heel general manager. I know you're injured. I know you're not 100%. But because I'm a heel general manager, I'm going to force you to defend your title against Dolph Ziggler, who's also hurt and also not 100%. So what? I'm not sure how that's a heel move. That kind of, okay, well, you're on even playing ground then, aren't you? I'm the evil guy. I'm making Seth Rollins defend his belt when he's injured, except so is his opponent. They put on a good match because they always do. But it's not enough to save. You see, here's the problem. You can have a really good match. It's not enough to save a program if everything is illogical. And this is illogical again. If Baron Corbin is supposed to be such a heel GM, he would have had Seth Rollins defend the belt against, he would have said, you know, maybe Seth Rollins could have came in and said, I'm giving Ziggler a shot tonight after what happened. And Ziggler could have went to Baron Corbin and said, you know, I'm not 100%. And then Corbin could have picked someone else and said, well, you're not getting Dolph Ziggler tonight. You're getting this fresh guy, to which people could have said, oh, that's bullshit. Because you know Seth isn't 100%. And you know that he did that just because he's favoring Ziggler. Nope. It's okay. You guys go out there and fight. Okay, well, then that's fine. They had a good match. Seth Rollins wins. Of course, you know he's going to win. And again, we're looking down the barrel of the middle of the show. That's about the end, Mike, because there's nothing else the fans are looking forward to.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, you could have worked an angle where they absolutely fight. I don't know. You went on to use Elias later on in the show. You could have worked an angle where Elias comes out. They force him to fight. You pick anybody on the roster, you know.
Right, anybody.
Force him to fight. Yeah, force him to defend the title versus anybody on the roster, and then you know what's going to probably happen is that, you know, Ziggler comes off and costs him the title. Well, there you go. You cost me my title.
Absolutely, Mike. Absolutely. And you could have reworked this very easily. Baron Corbin could have said, I'm taking on Seth Rollins. To which you could have said, well, you know what? They might give that title to Corbin because then that would free up the Intercontinental belt for other feuds and Seth and Dean could go on to fight whatever. That could happen. Maybe you have Drew McIntyre instead fight Roman Reigns where you say, well, it's not going to be an outcome anyway, really, because everybody's going to interfere. So it'll keep both guys looking strong. There were many things you could have done. You did none of them. Well, let's get to the Ronda Rousey thing, because Ronda Rousey has to ask the Bellas backstage, how do I issue an open challenge? Because she's so stupid, she doesn't know that you go to the – she watches wrestling all the time. But she doesn't know that you just walk to the ring and say, I'm issuing an open challenge. And so she does, but listen, she gets into that ring. God help her. She can't cut a promo. She cannot do it. Her promo consisted of this. And I'm sorry if this is annoying, but guess what? So is her promo. Fans chanting, Ronda Rousey, her saying, so right last night, thank you. I was pushed to the limit. I want to congratulate Alexa Bliss. Congratulate her for what? For losing? I want to congratulate Alexa Bliss, who I admit I must have, I guess I underestimated her because it took me 8 minutes to beat her with three people instead of two. And she really pushed me to my limit. She really did. Did she really? That's it then. That's the best match we're going to see from you. That's your limit. So I'm going to issue an open challenge to which Natty's music hits. And for a moment I say, oh, maybe we'll get something interesting here. Instead, here come the whole Riott squad out with Natty in tow. They'd beaten her up. Ruby Riott says, this is your fault, Ronda. And I'm the one who's cashing in on this open challenge. And I say, all right, well, let's see what we get. Ronda Rousey's going to have an impromptu match the night after a pay-per-view. This is a good step forward. Oh, yeah, but that doesn't happen, does it? Because before she even gets in the ring, Ronda punches her in the face, and then the whole Riott squad just jump in, and then here come the Bellas running down. Like somebody just blew a whistle for two seconds to airtime for Total Bellas. And they vanquished the evil Riott squad because, of course, the Bellas are so ridiculously tough. And apparently Nikki Bella can be on any show she wants. Or Brie Bella, I should say. The Riott squad is done. They're done. The right way to handle this was to have beaten the living hell out of Ronda Rousey before the Bellas came down. Yeah, I know they were stomping her, but it didn't look like she was hurt. And she got right back up, didn't she? I don't mean that. I mean beating the hell out of her to where the Bellas got to kind of go 3-on-2 because Ronda's not helping. Or maybe Natty recovers and they do 3-on-3, whatever it happens to be. But Ronda should have been down and out. Remember, she has to hurt ribs. Remember, that was the whole basis of the match. She's fine now, though, isn't she? Because, of course, they're going to be fighting in Australia, and everybody wants to see that. Because, once again, Ronda Rousey cannot have a match unless she practices it for a month and a half first. So God knows there's not enough time to have her defender belt in Australia because that would not make them have enough time to practice and practice and practice and practice a solo match. So it's easier for her to just make the hot tag with a Bella, throw some punches and armbar somebody into a submission hold, and that's what's going to happen, and that's it. Ronda Rousey cannot cut a promo, Mike. I'm tired of seeing her.
Well, the thing is that promo, that is the type of promo that we would get from a heel. You know, that. Oh, congratulations for winning, even though your opponent did not win the match. That's something we would get from the Miz. You know, that's something that we would get from a Ric Flair. You know, oh, you won the match. You lost the match. Congratulations. That is a heel. If it was anybody else besides Ronda Rousey, you would have seen her with possibly Natty, but probably somebody like Paul Heyman or somebody like that, where she doesn't have to do no talking, you know.
It was just ludicrous because what she's basically saying is, I never thought in a million years the girl who was the champion of both divisions was that tough. Really? So what you're saying is I'm an arrogant bitch who came over here and said the champions here are nothing but losers. And much to my surprise, Alexa Bliss actually got in a few punches. Hey, good for you, Alexa. Wow. You know what that's like? It's like patting a little kid on the butt when they run to third base after hitting the ball instead of first base. Nice try, though. Nice try. Are you kidding me? That's what you want from Ronda Rousey? Holy crap, how bad can it be? Now, Elias has a particularly good segment. Not only does he play some mean guitar, but then for whatever weird reason, Lio Rush comes out, and I guess Lio Rush is now the manager of Bobby Lashley. Here's the problem with that. Lio Rush is a heel. You don't think Lio Rush is a heel? You're listening to his rhetoric and stuff? He's a heel. And Elias gets the biggest cheers of the night when he says, who lost their kid? Somebody come claim your kid here. We can get security to take you to the booth and they'll call your mom. The heels shouldn't be the guys who are getting the big pop and the big laugh. And then Lashley comes out like the Skipper and Gilligan, where it's, okay, my little buddy, you picked on my little buddy. And yes, Lio Rush is a great athlete, and I've met Lio Rush several times. He's a good athlete. But what is this? Then Kevin Owens comes out. He's the mid-card guy now all of a sudden. And they have this ridiculous Spider-Man routine where he jumps over this guy and does that and does this, and then he's saved by his big buddy to set up, of course, a match in Australia between Bobby Lashley and I guess probably Lio Rush and probably KO and Elias. And I just, wow. What a waste. Because here's what you got. You've got Kevin Owens, who is a legit professional wrestler and great at what he does and should be at the top of his game. You've got Elias, who is one step off of being a face, and you should probably just go ahead and make him one. You've got Lio Rush, who is arguably one of the most athletic and agile people ever in the WWE, and probably should be still in NXT or 205 Live, which he is, doing what he does, and to hell with the main roster for now. And you got Bobby Lashley, who should be a monster heel beast, and you've mismanaged every single goddamn one of them. I mean, it's fun to watch Lio Rush do his little athletic stuff, Todd, but it was Elias who got the big pop.
Yeah, absolutely right there. Like he said, it looks like Elias is acting like he's a face, and he was supposed to be a heel, but everybody was popping for that.
And Lio Rush is kind of got a heel shtick going on, no?
I believe so.
That's what it sounds like to me, Mike. He doesn't sound like a face.
Right, and I mean, it almost sounds like the same type of stick that Enzo had, you know, a little bit, you know. But again, it makes sense you put him with Lashley, but Lashley's supposed to be, because Lashley does not do well with his mic work. It makes sense that you put somebody with Lashley, you know, but Lashley's supposed to be a face, and there you go. It's cognitive dissonance, you know.
It's just ridiculous. I don't know. People say, well, it's entertaining. Well, it is. It would be much more entertaining if Lashley was a heel. It would be much more entertaining if Lio Rush convinced Lashley to be a heel. And then Rush is running his mouth because he knows he's got the big guy to back him up. This is not a face act. It's just not. We then get the big announcement that, of course, Alexa Bliss, who's doing nothing, is going to be at ringside while her buddies Alicia Fox and Mickie James wipe the floor with Ember Moon and a partner of her choosing, which, if you didn't know that it was going to be Nia Jax, I don't know what to tell you. So Nia Jax comes out, and of course, look, I guess she was injured or disgruntled or had a burr up her butt. I don't know what the problem was with Nia Jax. She says she was injured. Either way, it looks like the fans were happy to see her, but where does she fit into this division? You think she's going to fight? Who's she going to fight? Ronda Rousey again? Ronda Rousey's killed this division. And the reason she's killed this division is because she's made everybody else irrelevant to the point where Ronda Rousey's an A++++++. and everybody else is a C-. That's the way they're booked. There isn't any A pluses there that you say she's at the level of Ronda Rousey. No, nobody is. Nobody is. Three of them together aren't. So then it's like Ronda Rousey is the queen and everybody else is the pawns. So there's another pawn for the game. Fine. We got another pawn for the game. Ember Moon is a very talented worker and she's had nothing. She's been given nothing to work with at all since she's come up from the NXT roster. Absolutely nothing. That's a shame. Because there's a lot you could do with her. Now, I said in the beginning, look, the problem with this show, every 2 minutes it's, we're doing Hispanic Heritage Month. We're doing the Connor's Cure thing, which I'm not against. It's wonderful. I'm glad. But do we have to have 7 packages of it per episode? Could you just say, look, we're doing the Connor's Cure thing this episode. SmackDown, we'll do the Hispanic Heritage Month. We'll do something else the next episode of Raw. Does it all have to be snowballed into one episode? What we got on Raw last night was Hispanic Heritage Month, Connor's Cure, the people in North Carolina and the Carolinas and the Virginias rescue effort through the Red Cross. I understand all that, and I'm sympathetic to it. But you don't let that take up 80% of your show. You just don't. Every 5 minutes, it was another one. It's absolutely ridiculous. Of course they do good work with Connor's Cure. Of course it's nice to see those kids out on stage. Of course it's nice to see that the WWE is taking that seriously. And I'm all for them. Using a segment of that on Raw or letting the kids come out and walk down to the ring on Raw, I'm all for that. But you don't plan it the same time you say, well, look, here's our agenda. First, we're going to do the Hispanic Heritage Month. And that's going to take 5 minutes. Then we're going to do the Connor's Cure videos. That's going to take 5 minutes. Then the kids are going to come on stage. That's going to take 5 minutes. Then we're going to do the hurricane relief fund thing. That's going to take 5 minutes. Then we're going to do the Saudi Arabia announcements, and that's going to take five. Come on. And I know we didn't mention, so let's mention it, the Undertaker coming out. This is getting sad. It's getting sad because the Undertaker was always one of my top wrestlers of all time. And to see him just stumbling around the ring, trying to relive past glory by saying, Triple H, our meeting in Australia with Shawn Michaels in your corner. Come on, just forget it. It's irrelevant. Your time has passed. It's done, okay? This whole thing is done. You want to write yourself into a major storyline that involves current wrestlers, do it. Otherwise, I'm totally sick of this. Last time only, Triple H is going to fight The Undertaker for no good reason. And then we're going to come out, though, and make it look like there is a reason, even though we've given no indication ever before this that we don't like each other or that we have a problem with each other. We've given no indication of that, but now we will. Now we'll sell it, because here we are. We're the professional wrestlers, and we're going to sell this. And you know we're selling it. So you don't even need to think it's real. You don't even need to think there's any animosity for real, because it's not worth it. I'll just go into my deep voice mode, and Triple H can just go into his I think the Undertaker has lost respect for himself mode, and... And you know what this is all leading to, by the way? Australia is simply a warm-up for Saudi Arabia. Don't believe me? I guarantee you it's the Brothers of Destruction against DX in Saudi Arabia. Because they put all the money in the world on the table. And so while I'm watching them do Connor's Cure, while I'm watching them do the Hurricane Relief Fund, while I'm watching them have Hispanic Heritage Month, I'm saying to myself, when are you going to take these human rights violations seriously and stay the hell out of a country that's jailing women, putting them on death row, by the way? You know, it's one thing if you said, well, our culture is you don't do this, and this woman did this, and so, yeah, you know, she's done it three times. We put her in jail for 2 days and told her don't do it again, and we fined her. You'd still say, well, that's kind of backwards, but whatever. But no, that's not what's happening. The prosecutors in Saudi Arabia are seeking the death penalty. So, hey, why don't you tie it into the pay-per-view? Maybe here's a deal. Maybe if they get the death penalty, then directly after on the WWE Network, we can air that, huh? How's that sound? In that wonderful, progressive country of Saudi Arabia, that beautiful melting pot of democracy, stay tuned for the execution of some women who wanted some rights directly after the main event. How does that make you feel? Because I know how that makes me feel. And if I'm a wrestler, I'm not going. And yet here they all go. I'm going to tell you a story that almost soured me to wrestling for a long time. And I'm not going to mention any names because it turns out to be one of my favorite wrestlers. And I don't want to disparage him, but I saw it with my own eyes. So I know it exists. I was at an autograph signing session and a very informal one. It wasn't no convention. It was a wrestler is at a comic book store, and he's signing autographs for $15. And he has a line of quite a few people, and he probably made $1,000, $2,000. And two kids, and I mean kids, maybe seven or eight, came over. And they didn't have $15, and he didn't sign their autograph. When he very simply could have said, I can't give you the picture by 10. I can't do that. But if you got a piece of paper or something, I'll sign it. And I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, you know, is this all about money? Is there no consideration ever, ever, ever one time for your fans or for greater things other than that dollar bill? And I got by that because I said, well, yes, look at all the good charity work that's happening. That's, you know, maybe it was just a bad day for that guy, or maybe it was just one of those things. But now I see this type of thing and I say to myself, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Well, what next? Are you going to go to Iran if they offer you all the money in the world? I just don't know what to say. And just when you think the WWE is going to bounce back and they give you a great pay-per-view and you say, wow, maybe they're on the right track. Okay, maybe they had to do this Saudi Arabia thing. They're contractually obligated. But maybe after this, they'll make an announcement that we're not doing it anymore. We've listened to, you know, the public outcry. Except there is no public outcry. All I'm hearing is, wow, we might get DX against the Brothers of Destruction. Shawn Michaels is getting back in the ring. Wow, we're getting a three-way match between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. And not one fan is saying, yeah, but you know what? This shouldn't be in Saudi Arabia. They shouldn't go there to do that. And why are they saving all that great stuff for Saudi Arabia? Why? What has Saudi Arabia done to earn that? The UK hasn't even had a WrestleMania. They've been loyal fans. How come you couldn't do this big super show there? I'll tell you why. Because the Saudi Arabian government's handing you over all kinds of money that nobody in their right mind would hand you over. This is the equivalent, and I'm not being facetious. This is the equivalent of saying, I am a weapons manufacturer. And I sell weapons to the United States government But if the Saudi Arabian government or ISIS gives me a bigger price on them, I'm selling them to them. Do you know what would happen to you? You would go to prison. Now, I realize that the weapons are used to kill other people. It's not the same thing. I'm not a moron, but the comparison still holds because the WWE is a product and they're going to the highest bidder, but they're supposed to have a little bit of pride in their in themselves and moral fortitude. And they're the first people to say, look, we're doing wonderful things for the Connors Cure. We're morally wonderful people. Look, we're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month because we are progressive and morally wonderful. Look, we're taking some of our time to pledge to the Red Cross's Hurricane Relief Fund because we're such wonderful people. And then out the back door, they're saying, get to Saudi Arabia before they realize what we're up to. This is a big deal for me. I know it's not a big deal for some people. This is a big deal for me. So anyway, let's just end the show by simply saying that Roman Reigns has his match with Baron Corbin, and of course everybody gets involved, and of course Roman Reigns retains, and whatever. Did anybody care? Did anybody think that Baron Corbin was going to win? So was there a reason to watch Raw this week? Was there any reason? Did something happen that I missed that you say, oh my God, if you missed that? You just came off a pay-per-view with all the momentum in the world. And you could have had a moment that, oh, my God, what a moment. There's no moment. There's no moment. You hit a brick wall. You were cruising at 90 miles an hour, man, and you had the finish line in sight, and you hit a brick wall. I don't know, Mike. I don't know if there's any hope.
At least not for Raw. We'll see about tonight with SmackDown, what happens with SmackDown and stuff, because generally speaking, we've seen it before that Raw generally drops whatever bottle they're given, and SmackDown kind of picks whatever, you know, kind of gets it over the finish line somewhat. So we'll see about tonight. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I give you another analogy. If you've ever seen the movie Iron Man, and during the movie, he's selling weapons to the U.S. government. But then later on in the movie, as it turns out, some of those weapons were stolen by the bad guys and used to blow him up. You know, and that's what the WWE is doing. You know, the WWE is selling themselves to these guys who will eventually come back and bite them in the ass at some point.
And
they
already
should.
Bit them in the ass, Mike, because last time they went there, they got chewed out. And because you dared to show Carmella for 1/8 of a second dancing to music. She wasn't even live. It was a goddamn video. Can I ask a question? Maybe this is a dumb question. How are there any Saudi Arabian WWE fans? They can't watch the show. There are women on the show every week. So if you can't watch women wrestle, how the fuck are you watching WWE? Maybe they can watch it if it's not in their country. I don't know what the hell the situation is. If you can watch it because it's not in your country, if it's okay to watch it, as long as it doesn't take place right there in your country, idiotic. I don't know. Nobody else seems to think this is a big deal. Todd, the main event was whatever it was.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I'm not going to watch that show in Saudi Arabia either. And like you said, it's a big. I'm not going to watch it because of what happened last time.
It's just a big clusterfuck. I'm sorry, but this whole thing is just a big clusterfuck. The WWE is running really, really, really thin ice here. Because fans are getting more and more disgruntled, and now fans are so disgruntled that they don't even know themselves what they want, because fans are saying, you know, we want a refund after Hell in a Cell because Brock Lesnar came out. What? That's a perfect ending to that match. It keeps everybody looking strong, and if it set up Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns at a pay-per-view that wasn't in Saudi Arabia, I'd be saying this is absolutely perfect. This is absolutely perfect. Great way to set it up. But now fans don't even know what they want. Now fans are so confused they don't know what they want. Because you got the Road Dog writing on Twitter, you guys don't, you misunderstood the story. Becky Lynch is a bitch. And Charlotte Flair had to do the same climbing a mountain that Becky Lynch did. No, she didn't. Let's get that straight. No, she didn't, Road Dog. And if you think she did, smoke another one. Speaking of Becky Lynch, here's something funny. You know, we had been saying for about 3 or 4 weeks, Becky Lynch could be the new Stone Cold Steve Austin of the women's division. And people have been writing me saying, that's a terrible comparison. Nothing close. Yesterday, on the radio show, Mick Foley says, you know, Becky Lynch is like the new Stone Cold Steve Austin. Folks, here's the situation. We know what we're talking about as fans, but we have to focus on what we really want. Otherwise, the WWE is going to use your indecision and your fickleness as a reason to say, this is why we don't listen to the fans. Now, if you're a wrestling fan and you don't think it's a good idea for Brock Lesnar to come down there, cause pandemonium, absolutely no winner in Hell in a Cell for the first time I can recall, and set up a three-way match at a big pay-per-view, then I'm sorry. I don't know why you're a wrestling fan, because that's perfect. The fact that it's in Saudi Arabia has nothing to do with the fact that the booking is good. It's just that you put it in a country that you should not be in, that you should not be favoring, that you should not be doing business with. Now, I know there's people who wrote me and said, do you realize that we trade with Iran? We trade with countries that hate us. We give, we do trade even with North Korea. Yes, I do understand. I understand that very well. Here's the difference. In those situations, we are obligated to do trade, world trade. And we impose sanctions when people have human rights violations. We impose sanctions. We don't reward them. So the WWE, not only going over there, if the WWE said, we're going to go over there, and it's just going to be a normal show, nothing to see here, and we're not broadcasting it on the WWE network. We're holding a show. We're contractually obligated to do it. We're doing it. No. That's not what they're doing. They're rewarding them. They're giving you the best of the best. We're giving you Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns in a match for the title. We're giving you Shawn Michaels' return to the ring. All the great matches are going to be there that the American fans don't deserve. We'll show it to them on the network. But you people deserve this. And that's what leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Maybe I'm in the minority. As far as Raw last night, folks, listen. There were one or two matches that I thought were hard-fought. Dean Ambrose and Drew McIntyre, that was a hard-fought match. Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler, it was a good match. Even Baron Corbin wasn't terrible last night. But because none of it made any sense, because all of it was surrounded by total BS, and storylines that went nowhere, and plot lines that are just ended, I guess. By the way, let's flesh out why Leo Rush is the manager of Bobby Lashley, because we both like smoothies. There's your storyline. There's your angle. There's some writer actually went somewhere and said, why is Leo Rush Bobby Lashley's manager? I know. They both like smoothies. Brilliant. So there's your large fleshing out of your plot line. Not Bobby Lashley doesn't have that fire and, I can bring it back to him. Not, I've known him for a while and he's helped me with it. No. Just we like smoothies. So we talk over smoothies. And guess what? I'm his manager. Braun Strowman has summed this whole thing up the best when he just said, this whole thing sucks. Bobby Lashley's character and his wrestling acumen in WWE sucks. The way they're using Kevin Owens sucks. The way they're using Elias sucks. Ronda Rousey and her interviews and her matches suck. The fact that there are only six people that you even give a damn about on Raw suck. Ember Moon having no feud ever and a former NXT champion just being used as garbage sucks. It all sucks. It's not good enough. And now the NFL, whether they're down in ratings or not, the NFL is starting every Monday night, and guess what? The ratings are going to tank. Absolutely tank. If you don't give them a reason to watch. And last night you didn't give anybody a reason to watch. Nobody a reason to watch. Out of respect to the two matches that I liked, even though the storylines made no sense, I'm going to give this a D. Mike, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to give it a D plus. And I'm going to say this. I will almost guarantee you SmackDown is going to be infinitely better tonight.
Mike, they would have to show a test pattern for 2 hours to be worse. And I'm not kidding. They would almost have to show a test pattern for two straight hours with a WWE logo in the center for it to be worse. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you. I got to go with a D.
So all around D's, I know in the chat room, Derek gave it an F. There's a lot not to like about last night's Raw. There's a lot not to like. And again, I'm not blaming the athletes. These guys came out and did their best. But it's not entertaining. It's not entertaining when nothing makes sense. It's not entertaining when the booking is totally contrary to reality. It's not entertaining when suddenly the whole entire Raw show revolves around six and only six people. It's not entertaining when suddenly Dana Brooke is no longer with a faction and we don't know why. Suddenly Leo Rush is a manager and we don't know why. Suddenly Drake Maverick is a manager and we don't know why. Mick Foley's nowhere to be found after being assaulted by Heyman and we don't know why.
90 seconds.
It's just not good enough. And then you intersperse this with all the rest of the 100 pay-per-views they're doing in the next 2 months. And they're trying to fit them all in. We got to build up for this. We got to build up for that. We got to build up for this. What about that? What about this? And then you add the Bellas to the mix. I guess the Bellas can float wherever they want because they're such big stars. I see them running down to the ring and I'm just like, God help me. Shoot me. Already. If the Bellas got to come save you. I don't know, folks. I was all excited after Hell in a Cell. I thought maybe the WWE had righted the ship, but the ship just hit a goddamn iceberg. Let's see if they can right the ship tonight on SmackDown. It's not going to take much. It's not going to take much. I know we got AJ Styles versus Andrade Cien Almas. And we'll see if he addresses the situation of tapping out or whatever. And we'll see what happens with The Miz and Daniel Bryan. I'm sure we'll see Brie Bella there again. She's got the John Cena, I can be on any show I want thing. Anyway, a terrible Raw. We'll see if SmackDown can recover tonight. We'll talk to you Friday with a SmackDown report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.